For the first episode in this series, I am joined by an absolutely amazing woman. She is a pin-up girl living in a burly world, working in a beauty salon. She's an awarded pin-up, a model, a photographer, a makeup artist, an owner of her own boutique beauty salon. And I'm joined today, and also the owner of Sky High Burlesque, I'm joined today by Delza Sky. Thank you so much for being here this afternoon. I was like, what day is it?
Thank you so much for having me.
So the purpose of these episodes is we're going to be talking about some different kind of employment that's out there, different jobs, different roles, and with the idea that often you don't know what you don't know, and there are so many different options out there that when you know someone, you're like, oh, that's really interesting, but I never would have thought of that. So I used to do this mentoring with some younger girls, and often we found that the jobs that they knew about was beauty, fitness, and there was another one that now I've forgotten.
Oh, hairdressing.
Anyway. Yeah, actually it was hairdressing. That's it. Well done. So you fit into one of those.
Yes.
So you've been in the beauty industry for 20 years.
A while. Since I was 17.
Yeah. So let's start there and then we'll progress to the slightly more unusual.
Yes.
So what drew you to beauty?
I think, to be very honest, and I think my mum would back me up on this, I used to get into all her makeup and her wax pot. She had a wax pot at home, one of those home kits.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was fun. So I think I just knew. It wasn't until the end of year 12, though, where I really wanted to be in childcare. And to be honest right now, that just makes me feel sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not against anyone that wants to do that
profession. No, it's just not
for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at the end of year 12, I went, I think I want to be a beauty therapist. And that was it. Ah. That was my life.
So how do you actually get into beauty therapy?
Well, there is a lot of different avenues. At that point, I decided to go to a private college. Mm-hmm. That meant that it was fast streamed. So 12 months rather than 2 years at TAFE. Now, this is a quite a while ago, 1999. I think. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
How old am I? And look, mum and dad paid for it, so I was very lucky on that one. So, you know, $10,000 back then.
Yeah.
But it meant that I did everything in 12 months and I even got an international diploma so I could work overseas or on cruise ships and whatnot. So that was where I went. But you can go to college, you can go to TAFE. I think they have online stuff. Don't recommend.
Yeah, that's it. It does feel like something that you really should be practicing in person with somebody there instructing you in person.
Yes.
Yeah.
But anything that's practical, I really feel like you need to be doing something hands-on.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. My opinion only.
Oh, yeah. I'm 100% with you. I think that when you're doing it hands-on, you need to be hands-on.
Yes. And do lots of work experience. That really helped. I did a whole year of work experience, which was amazing.
So did you do the work experience while you were studying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So we were teed up with salons.
Awesome.
Again, this is quite a while ago, but they do still exist, the Ella Bache salons.
Yeah.
So we actually used Ella Bache products at the college.
Yeah.
I wanted to say salon. I'm like, college. So getting a job, especially work experience at an Ella Bache salon, was like the highlight for anybody at that college. So I did do that, and that salon doesn't exist any longer. It was the one in Armidale.
Oh, yep. That's been gone a little while now, hasn't it?
Yeah, that was the upstairs one. It was, but incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I started.
And you're still there. So, you know, you just said you did the study in 1999 and we're now in 2023.
Yes.
So you're still loving beauty?
Yes. I actually opened my own salon in 2000.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That was super quick.
Yes. Jumped right in.
Yeah.
It was the end. So October.
So you'd had like
2000.
10 months of experience being qualified by
then. Yes. Yes. And I just went, I could do it myself. Why not?
So how old were you when you opened your own salon?
19.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I did that. I was in the city and I had that for 14 years.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
Yeah.
How was that, being a business owner at 19?
Oh, it was very scary because for people that know me would not believe that I used to be extremely shy, like extremely painful.
Yeah.
And then opening my own salon meant that I had to find a voice.
You've got to push through.
Yes. So it was kind of one of those things, let's just see what happens.
Yeah. And 14 years, it must have gone quite well.
Yes. So it went from a one-room salon in a hair salon to a five-room day spa.
Wow.
Yes.
That's very exciting. Well done.
Thank you.
And then you've moved from there to go to a home salon.
Yes. So after having my second child, I decided that it was either I work more hours and keep the salon going as well as it was, or step away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just went, you know what? I'm going to step away. It's time to say bye-bye to my baby.
Yeah.
And focus on my new babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And I think there's, you know, reason, season, lifetime and all that. And there's nothing to stop you going back into that at some point if that's what you choose. But you got to keep going in just a slightly different form.
It's the best thing I ever did, honestly. Like, I've got a full salon set up at home and I still have some of my clients from when I had the day spa.
Yeah. How is it, though, having people come into your house?
I find that it's okay. My salon's right at the front of the house. Yeah. So they literally walk in the front door and then...
They're not having to trudge through your whole house.
And, no.
Yeah.
And it does make me have to keep that front part.
I was just thinking that would be my incentive to clean. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Actually, I could probably do with it being at the back of the house so they do have to see the whole house.
Do you know what? Maybe that's where I've fallen. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, quite often they'll be stepping over a vacuum because I'm halfway through vacuuming and gave up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's me.
I was listening to someone the other day and she said that she just, when she knows that people are coming over, she just wipes bleach over the back of the door. So it smells clean as people walk in. My goodness, I'm so going to do that.
Just be like, yes, I was totally just cleaning.
Oh, you've interrupted me. I'm so sorry. I thought we said another half hour.
Oh, you should say, if my clients come even like 10 minutes early, I'm like, excuse me.
Drive around the block. I'm not ready yet.
I'm not ready. I had 10 more minutes.
So being from the beauty industry, tell me what are the highlights for it for you?
I never thought I would actually say this, but I absolutely love waxing.
Oh, my goodness.
That's my favorite thing. I never, ever liked it when I started because I was so slow at it.
Ah.
And now that's pretty much all I do.
Really?
I could do a lot of stuff, but that's the predominant thing.
Why people are coming to you.
Yes. It was quite funny when I had the day spa, my staff would, when I was going in part-time once I had the kids.
Yeah.
They would call it, I hope I can say this.
Go for it.
Vagina day.
You're on a women's podcast. Yes, you can 100% say which vagina day.
Yes, it was vagina day because all I did all day was Brazilian waxes.
How was that when you were 17 learning how to be a beautician, going and having to learn how to do Brazilian waxes?
Okay, this is going to shock you. Back then, Brazilians weren't a thing.
Okay, I clearly can't remember back that far.
No, they were just coming in as I qualified. So it wasn't something that I actually learnt at college.
Ah.
I learnt on the job.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And now, I mean, I barely ever do a bikini wax.
Yeah, no.
It's so rare. I might go, what? Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's totally allowed. I mean, good on you. Anyone that's going to do that. Oh.
And I'm just trying to think that first time you've got done no training, you're like, yeah, I'll give it a whirl. How hard can it be?
Yeah, you just kind of...
At least you don't have to worry about being symmetrical.
No, this is the best thing. Okay, so if someone comes in and asks if they can have like a landing strip left,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, but I have to make a strip. And I'm so particular that I'm like, I have to line it up.
Okay, we have to lose another millimetre on this side.
Yeah, this is uneven, sorry.
You know that landing strip you wanted? No, not anymore, it's gone.
I know a few times I did accidentally wax off some landing strips because I forgot.
It's all the habit now.
Yes.
And what do you think the lowlights of being a beautician would be?
It's definitely not glamorous. Mm. A lot of people go into the beauty industry thinking it's going to be glamorous. A lot of it is not.
No.
We're there to make you glamorous. So I call myself a personal panel beater.
Like that, yeah.
But I mean, another thing that I love doing pedicures. I love it when your feet are disgusting. Please bring them to me. I will make them beautiful.
Oh, no, that is gross.
Yeah, no, but that's a challenge to me.
Mm.
But see, that would put a lot of people off. Yeah. They're like, ew, I'm not doing that.
I actually had a conversation with my son's podiatrist saying, yes. What actually made you go into podiatry? Like, who sits at home and thinks, you know what I want to do? I want to look at manky feet all day. And so I hadn't sort of thought about the pedicures, but same thing. Yeah. No, I don't want to look at manky feet. I don't want to touch somebody else's feet.
No, I get such joy out of making them so beautiful. Like, I'm actually disappointed if people come to me and their feet are in really good nick. Like, I'm like,
what am I supposed to do with that? It's already fixed.
I know. I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I can't even charge you full price now. I mean, I'm going to, but.
But I will take a moment to feel guilty about it before I charge you full
price. You'll probably get an extra bit of massage or something like that because I will feel bad.
Yeah. Oh, that is really funny. That's two things that would not be highlights for me, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I know. Mm. See?
But that's kind of the point of this, is that it does take all sorts, and, you know, there's so many different things out there, and you can get a job where it's just doing just doing pedicures or just doing waxing, or, you know, then you can go and, you know, specialise in something or go and do the
whole lot. Absolutely. Like, the freedom that I have having my own salon means that I can do whatever I want. Yeah. Even when I had the day spa and I had staff, I was like, I'm doing this, and you are doing all of the other stuff because
the
bits
I don't like, you get to do.
You get to do that. Yeah. I would literally interview girls and I'm like, do you like massage? Yes, love it. Okay, great.
Extra tick for you.
I mean, I do have one funny story about the massage. And it's not that I hate doing massage. It's just that I do it so well that people keep rebooking with me. And then I'm like, damn, I don't know.
I've got to do it again.
I don't like doing it. It makes me sleepy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the music and
yeah. And you can't really have a chat, can you?
No. You know. And I think that's the thing, I like to chat.
Mm.
But one day in the salon, the girls came up and they're like, oh, we've booked you a massage. And I'm like, why? And they're like, no. Just wait. And I'm like, this better be good. In walks this guy, surfer. He was on a surfing tour with Kelly Slater. Now, anybody that's my age will know who that is. Hot. And I'm just like, oh, hello, come this way.
Actually, it turns out I'm quite awake now.
I don't mind. That's so bad.
It is really bad, isn't it? We do not condone sexualization of anybody.
No. No.
Yeah. How does it go with, because you're a business owner, that means you got to do all the business stuff as well.
I know, that's the downfall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like paperwork.
And people don't get into, people don't get into beauty to do myob.
No.
Mm. No. Exactly.
You
that
think
time,
that you've
100%.
Escaped all of that, you know, admin.
Mm.
And I feel like that's all I do.
Yeah, there's a lot of admin that goes on behind the scenes. And with all of the stuff that you do, there's a lot of admin.
Yes,
so
a lot. So, yes, I have days now where I block out to actually do my admin.
I'm not a fan of admin either.
No.
I mean, people tell me it's got to be done.
Oh, tax. I don't like tax either. I don't like doing it. I don't like getting it ready.
No.
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 I'm just not that person.
Literally
definitely
just
not meant
before
to be an
accountant. Before you came in, I got a text message saying, everything's ready, you know, you can download your whatever a group certificate's called now and you're good to go. I was like, I don't want to think about tax.
Yeah, unless I'm getting some money back, which I never do.
Yeah, I don't even want to do the work to have to get it back. I mean, I like the getting it back part, but not the work in it.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So just keep that in mind if you want to be a business owner. There's a lot of paperwork.
There is. And I think that's the thing that, you know, well, I'm really good at beauty, so I'll go into my own business, but then you don't get to do the beauty part for full time because you got to fit in doing all of the admin stuff and all the parts that somebody else was doing when you were working for somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, I do love it when people come to the house because it's a home salon. They're like, oh, do you want cash? And I'm like, oh, I got AirPods. And they're like, oh, don't you just not want to claim that? I'm like, oh, no, this is legit.
Yeah.
This is all legit.
Everything's above board here.
I mean, I'll take your cash, but it's still going to be going on the books.
That's it. Everything's going where it needs to.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And then so that was last century you started that.
Yes.
And then you've, I guess, progressed to, how did you get into burlesque? Did it start as a hobby that then became?
Yes. So I had had my two kids, and I always forget how old they were roughly, but they must have just started school or on the cusp of being at school.
So that's sort of around the four type age?
If I had looked back and figured it out, do you know when you're
then
like,
you've got to remember how old your kids are and when they were born and all of those things.
I think my youngest was about four or five.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just kindy or pre-primary, whatever. Yeah. And I actually, it was nothing I'd ever thought about before, ever. Yeah. Like, even thinking of being a stripper in any sense of the word was like, oh, no, I could never do.
Well, particularly if you come from being really painfully shy. The thought of going from painfully shy to taking your clothes off in front of people. That's a big shift.
That's a massive jump.
And I know that when people are having babies, there's this idea that all of your inhibitions go. So you go from being really quite prudish to actually I'd be happy to have the baby in Cole's window, but you know, by the time it's coming out, I don't care, just somebody needs to catch it. So but that goes away again after.
Yeah. And then I think for a lot of women, you go through a whole other sort of your body is different.
Yeah.
And regardless of whether it changed or not or how it changed, you feel differently. I don't think I've actually spoken to any mum out there that has said, oh no, I'm 100% exactly the same. Even if somebody else doesn't view you differently, I think you do when you look in the mirror. So me going from being shy and also having babies and then becoming a stripper. So how I got started, it was a hobby. And I saw an advert for casual classes that were actually done during the day.
Oh, nice.
And so, my kids must have been at school.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what?
Why not?
I could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I work for myself, so I could do what I like. And I went in and tried that class and just fell in love with no expectations of ever taking my clothes off.
Yeah.
So when you start burlesque, and people always get so scared about this, I'm like, you won't be taking your clothes off and, you know, tasseling straight up.
This is
not happening. It's not happening. It's not happening. So don't even get that out of your head.
And when you start burlesque, you don't ever have to take your clothes off.
No. It's not. That is not the essential part of. Yeah. It is tease.
Yeah.
And you can tease in any sense of the word. It's art.
You also never have to perform.
No.
You know, so if you want to join burlesque and I know that was talking about careers and employment and that kind of thing, but taking burlesque back to people joining in, you can go, like you can turn up in tracksuit.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't recommend doing it in tracksuit because you do get really hot and sweaty and that's just gross. But, you know, you can go in whatever you feel comfortable in and you can keep it on, and at no point do you have to progress past that.
No. Absolutely not. Like for classes, I actually tell people just wear your gym gear.
Yeah.
Like, or whatever makes
comfortable clothes. Yeah, don't restrict your movement.
Exactly. What you can move in, what you're comfortable in. Like if you want to rock up in a tight wiggle dress, go for it.
Yeah.
That's up to you. We do actually have a dress code at Sky High. Yeah. just to keep our beginners in a safe environment.
Yeah.
So they're not feeling too overwhelmed.
So I'm going around. Myself, that's so right. What is the dress code?
So pretty much we request that people are covered.
Yep.
So they can wear booty shorts and whatnot, but we don't want G-strings and bras.
Yeah.
Not unless they've been specifically asked to wear that. So we do have classes like our assholes class where we will need your butt cheeks out.
Yeah.
But other than that, especially for...
Do you want to just share what an assel is?
An assel is the tassel, you know, you would have seen the tassel twirls, you know, the pasties on the nipples.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we actually can put them on our butt cheeks and then tassel that way.
Beautiful. And it makes it a little bit tricky if there is clothing.
Yes. Yep. So that would be a very good reason why you would be asked to wear either little booty shorts that show your butt cheeks or, a G-string.
Yep.
Other than that, we do ask that you are reasonably covered.
Mm-hmm.
It's more for a lot of our students aren't there as a professional level.
Yeah.
They just want to come and have some fun and fun, feel have a comfortable.
Laugh. Yeah.
So sometimes, especially in a beginning class, if we have too much revealed, it can be a little off-putting to others. So,
Yeah. Because I think you've got to be comfortable in your own skin before you can be comfortable being around other people's skins as well.
Yeah. So that's all we ask. Yeah. Like, you know, we're not too strict.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just,
A little bit of modesty.
Little bit of modesty. Yeah. Just a little bit. Yeah. Yes, it is burlesque, but we're not on the stage right now. So, yeah.
So you started, how long ago would that have been if your youngest was 4 or 5?
Oh, that was in 2015.
So about 8 years ago?
Yes, coming up, yeah.
Yeah. And then how did you progress from there? So you turned up as a, you know, relatively young mum going to a class just to hang out and have a bit of fun, and
pretty
sounds
much
like it would be
just
good.
Did some casual classes. Mm-hmm. Then they advertised for a new group called, I think it was called the Bombshells at the time, like a more of a pin-up-y vibe. And I thought, well, you know what, I'll give this a go. It was very G-rated. If you you know, the pin-up dresses and whatnot. And I had just started in pin-up. So I was like, ooh, I could do that.
Can combine the two.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a little bit of like 1940s, 1950s music. Yeah. That sort of Andrew Sisters kind of stuff. And I thought, yeah, I'll give that a go. Signed up for that. Met some lovely ladies. And then I quickly got thrown into a cabaret class, which is a little bit more jazzy.
Yeah.
It was a cane class. There's a lot of different things. But again, not taking anything off. I think we took some gloves off. It's nothing. And also in that term, solo development came up, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I signed up.
Sometimes it's best not to think too much.
I don't think I was thinking.
Yeah. Sleep deprivation's got a lot to answer for in all different ways.
Yeah. And just the more I did it, the more I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
So, and that's pretty much how I got started.
Have all of your family seen you perform?
Almost. So my mum and dad came to my very first show. Unfortunately, it was in a very shocking area. We won't go there. We don't really talk. The first 3 years of my burlesque career, we don't really talk about.
Yeah.
People in the know why, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, so they came to my first show and loved seeing me. Just didn't like where it was. It was a very stingy dive bar. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Since they have come again, I did convince my mum to come to a show that I was in that my friend produced, which was a Queen tribute.
Ah.
And seeing it at a highly professional level.
Yeah.
And obviously many years down the track. And she absolutely loved it. Still, she's like, my little girl taking her clothes off. But she's like, but I loved what you did.
And how was that for you with your parents being there while you took your clothes off?
Oh, I get excited.
Ah.
Like, I always say that if I need to hide this from people, then I'm not doing the right thing for me.
Yeah.
My kids look me up on YouTube. It does not faze me at all. Because, again, like I said, I'm not going to hide it. If I need to hide it, then I shouldn't be doing it.
And if you don't want to answer this, then that's fine. Mm. Do you have concerns around what your kids' friends may say or how they might react?
Oh, this has been a recent thing. So
is this like don't poke it, or is
no,
okay
no,
to
no.
Go? Okay, cool.
No. This is it's really good. So my kids are extremely supportive of what I do. They know exactly what I do. They always see pictures. They see my costumes. I can walk around with my pasties on it. They're like, oh, nice pasties, Mom. So my kids are now almost 13 and 15.
Yeah.
So obviously kids in their years have got YouTube.
Yeah.
And TikTok and Instagram. And they have been poking around and asking questions. Oh, what does your mum do and all this? And you know what? They're straight up. They're like, she's a burlesque artist.
So at the beginning you said you talked about, stripping.
Mm.
And it's really interesting. I think stripping and pole dancing and those kinds of, they've got such negative connotations with them. I think pole dancers are absolutely amazing and the strength and everything that goes into it. And I think we need to kind of grab hold of it and change the narrative around it. And it's the same with stripping. Like when I talk about burlesque, I know that it's stripping, but I don't have the same connotations that I do when people talk about strippers.
Yeah. So we are all in the same little umbrella, so to speak. We just do it in different ways and at different...
For different audiences.
Yes, and that's it.
Yeah.
I find with burlesque, I would say 80% of the audience is female.
Mm.
And we just, you don't regularly hear someone in a dirty mannerism be like, take it off.
Mm. Only the women who are shouting it out, but even encouragement rather than dirty.
Yeah, it's a very fine line. A lot of people try to say they're not a stripper, but I just say I'm a glittery stripper. Like, I am taking my clothes off, but I'm not naked.
Yeah.
So we actually have to keep pasties on, mm-hmm. and at a minimum have a G-string or a C-string on. So yeah. A C-string is where they don't have the little straps on the side.
That takes a lot of courage.
That's a lot of glue. I haven't gone that far yet. I'm quite scared to do that.
I'm not sure I'd be that trusting of the glue. So,
well, some of those glues, I'll tell you, I do glue my underwear to me so that it stays in place, and it does stay there.
Yeah, actually, I might have a chat to you about that after. So I guess the thing is, so when, you know, when I've been to burlesque shows, the men who are there tend to be there because they know some of the women who are performing.
Yeah, so typically it'll be, someone that they know is performing, or their partner's brought them along, yeah. or a friendship group.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you don't tend to get a group of men who have just come on their own.
Yeah.
Not usually. Who've
been drinking too much and, yeah.
No. The MCs are pretty good, and they will, if they start, they'll be kicked out.
Yeah.
So we just don't tolerate it. There's no...
It's a different tone as well, you know. So I think if people do start, then you're right, the MCs turn it around, and then everybody's laughing at the person yeah. who's been...
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And they either pull their head in or leave.
Yes.
So, and look, I'm going to be honest, I haven't been to a more traditional strip type show, so I can't... I've only got the ideas that come from the stereotypes from movies and those kinds of things. So I can't comment on what that is, except from what I've seen in Hollywood shows, which must be accurate, obviously.
Obviously. So I mean, just take burlesque, for example.
Oh,
I mean,
exactly.
If you have seen the movie, that is 100% what we do. Not.
Yeah.
That is the exact opposite. Oh, I love that. I love when someone's like, oh, is it like the movie? And I'm like, no.
Well...
But my burlesque mum actually says it best. She says, it's jazzy like the movie with a lot more filth and a lot less money.
Mm-hmm.
If only burlesque always looked like that movie.
Yes. Yeah. But it's a lot of fun though, right?
Oh, that, like, I honestly have to pinch myself that I get paid to do it.
Yeah.
I really do. Like, it's the most incredible job ever.
So what would you say we'll go to the negative person first and finish. What are the downsides to burlesque that people might not think about?
On a professional level?
Any level.
Oh, downsides. Oh, gosh. I don't have a lot of downsides. It does get hard sometimes to get gigs.
Mm.
Like, sometimes you feel like there's a lot of people competing with the same gig, and kind of getting a negative vibe from that instead of just realizing that there is enough gigs for us all.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you apply for a show and you get a rejection email, it's not because you're not good enough, you just didn't fit that show.
Yeah. How clicky is it here?
I always feel like I'm one of these people that never notices anything too bad. Mm. I'm friends with everybody.
Yeah.
I won't ever choose my friendship group based on what I can get out of them. I just choose them because I like being around them. I guess there is clickiness.
Mm.
There's definitely, I think there would have been prior to probably 5 years ago, because there was the different troupes and whatnot, and they didn't really go in each other's shows. But now it's just a free for all. You can go in whoever show you want. As far as I'm aware, I don't know the troupe rules, but it's definitely a very loving community. And I don't feel like it's a very clicky group. Everyone has their little friendship pockets, and you can see who goes with who.
Yeah.
But I don't ever feel like for me, that I'm ever left out of anything. So to me, I don't think there's an issue with that.
Yeah.
But that's just from my point of view.
Mm.
Some people might say otherwise. Yeah. I just like to be friends with everybody and not really worry about it.
Oh, there's just not enough time to get stressed and take issue with it. It's just easier if you just be friends with everyone.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's me though. I don't know whether it's because I'm older and I just can't be bothered with it.
Oh yeah, that's it. Who's got time for that? Whether or not you've experienced or students in your classes mm-hmm. or people who you know through the burlesque community, are there any barriers to getting into burlesque?
No, I don't think so, because it's definitely for all ages, shapes, sizes.
Genders.
Yes. Oh, yes. Mm. Definitely a big one. Like a lot of people are like, oh, I can't do a class, I'm a man. I'm like, oh, no. Yeah. You can do any of our classes. Mm-hmm. They're open, full inclusivity. I think, if anything, the burlesque community and the drag community are the most inclusive people out there.
Yeah.
Because we don't care.
Yeah, that's it. I think everybody's passionate about burlesque, so everything else doesn't really matter. It's just about coming in and sharing that love there. The whole body image thing, how does that go?
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because there is space for everybody.
Yeah.
And we basically say, if you don't like what you see, just shut your mouth.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that, because everybody has the right to take up the space. And if they've got 5 minutes on that stage, you give them their 5 minutes and just keep your mouth shut if you don't like it.
Yeah.
That's probably the easiest way to put it.
Yeah.
I personally love seeing all the different body shapes up there.
Mm.
It is incredible. And I've actually had people, like audience members, comment saying, wow, you make cellulite sexy. Because we're out there showing it all.
Yeah.
And nobody's negative about it.
Mm.
If you are, you're probably not in the community.
You're certainly not in the right space anyway. No. So.
No.
Yeah.
It's not just for skinny girls. It's not just for curvy girls. Oh, I get all sorts of stuff. I've actually had someone say to me, did you put on weight just to do burlesque? I'm like, whoa.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Bro. That's why I did it.
Just chubby. Just a little chubby.
I remember one of the first shows that I went to, somebody in the audience behind me said something like, oh my gosh, she looks like an undulating stick insect. And that was, I mean, it was horrendous. And but it was interesting because up until that point, and, you know, this is probably closer to the late 90s as well, mm. when burlesque wasn't as big here as it is now, but there was this idea that burlesque performers were Dita Von T's type kind of style and shape.
Yeah.
And so to have somebody who didn't have that hourglass figure,
mm-hmm.
then she was being insulted for that.
Yes.
But I think the people who I was with had been worried about how the audience would react to some of the much bigger women who were performing. So to hear somebody criticizing somebody for not being big enough, we're like, what's going on? But it was also really interesting because seeing how the audience reacted to that and making mm-hmm. that person know that those comments are not okay.
Yeah.
So, and I, you know, obviously I hope that the performer didn't hear that or wasn't exposed to that. But as an audience member, it was really affirming to hear people going, that's not what tonight's about. It's not about you judging the people up there based on their body.
No.
This is about the experience of burlesque and, you know, it's supposed to be, there's supposed to be laughter, there's supposed to be tease, there's supposed to be fun. There's no body shaming that happens here, regardless of the size.
No.
So,
I tell you, if any audience member even tries it and the MC gets wind of it, whoop, look out. Yeah.
So do you think that it does, like that idea around taking your clothes off, do you think that that is a barrier to some women either starting or progressing from those classes to actually going to the next stage?
I think for some it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when they actually do realise that, A, they don't ever have to perform. Like you can do classes and just opt to not perform.
Yeah.
We will never force you to do that. We'll never make you feel uncomfortable about doing that. There is also, I've got one particular student that is in her 50s and she's not comfortable in her body at all.
Yeah.
She loves doing classes. And she came up with the most fantastic version of doing striptease class that she did with me. Instead of going down to pasties or just leaving her bra on, she actually wore a skin-coloured long-sleeve shirt and put pasties on top of that.
Ah, cool.
So that way she was able to still join in, be part of it, get down to pasties without actually revealing her entire body.
Yeah.
So I think once people get past the fact that you actually need to show your body, I mean, there's a lot of performers that will perform and leave their corsets on because they don't want to show their bellies.
Yeah.
So, and then there's others that couldn't give a rat's ass.
Yeah.
So it's what you're comfortable with. Like, there is quite a few performers that will never go down to pasties, or if they do, they don't actually reveal them. So they don't do a pasty reveal. So they'll take the bra off but hide the boobies.
Yeah.
So I think with the support of, like, your teachers, fellow students, and the community, you start, as you progress through burlesque classes and become part of the community, you realize that you don't need to be scared.
Yeah.
And that you can do whatever you're comfortable with.
So I was a belly dance teacher for a lot of years, and I had one. So often you would have students who didn't want to perform, and if they did perform, they didn't want to show their bellies and that kind of thing. I remember having one student who was in her, I think she was in her late 60s, and she hadn't shown her belly since her son was born, who was now 40.
Yeah.
And on the day of the performance, she decided that that was it. She was going to show her belly, and she was going to dance with her belly on display.
Yay.
And it was that moment of, like, for me, that was one of my highlights of being a belly dance teacher, because, you know, throughout it all, I always say, I'm covered in stretch marks and I don't care. I earned every single one of those stretch marks, and I'm proud of every single one of them. So, yes, I'm covered in stretch marks. That's
life.
That's life. Yeah, 100%. And she had stretch marks. And but, yeah, she, for her to get up the courage, and her kids were there, but to get up the courage to be able to feel comfortable enough to show her stomach, that's huge.
Yeah.
So for me, that's, you know, like I said, one of the highlights. What have you got? Any highlights for being a burlesque teacher that makes you go, oh, this is why I'm still teaching, this is why I do this?
I get quite attached to my students. I call them my little babies. So the first class I ever taught was actually at another studio, which was Scarlet Bell Burlesque. And I call that class are my OG babies.
Yeah.
And the majority of them are still performing. Some have actually gone on to be soloists, and I have this absolute pride moment when they're on stage. I make sure that I'm backstage to encourage them before they go on, and then once they're on stage, I quickly whiz out there and watch them, and then I run backstage to be like, oh, yay! So seeing them perform is a highlight. Especially my solo students, they are just like, I just want them to be the best they can be, and I'll push them. I do have a few that I mentor, and I always get brought to tears when I see them perform. I'm like, you'll always hear me cheering the loudest for my babies. Like, so one particular Mistress Mustang, who is actually in her 50s, so she's an older performer, which is awful to say, but I think she might be one of the oldest that's currently a soloist.
Yeah.
Currently, that I can think of. I'm sorry if anybody else is older. And just seeing her become who she's become. Like, she actually does an act where she's a nana.
Oh.
And it is to make fun of herself.
Yeah.
But she does that move where she just flaps her bat wings. And it's the best thing ever. And I'm just like, oh, yay. That is 100% showing some body confidence.
And just really embracing who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, add it in. Because you know what? You're a nana. We've got that.
And
I've got that.
So relatable. Yeah.
It is. And everybody loves it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the best fit. But yeah, so I get a lot of joy out of seeing my students perform. I get a lot of joy when I see week after week they become more and more confident.
Yeah.
That for me, and when I get a smile out of them and I make them do stupid stuff that's really uncomfortable, like doing face work in the mirror.
Yeah.
Everyone hates it, but they always giggle at the end.
Yeah.
You know, but, and even for me, like when I know that they're not feeling great, I'll whip my belly out and be like, see, I've got a jiggly belly too. And I'm like, let it jiggle. You know, they'll just start laughing.
Yeah.
And I think once they realize that I don't care, then they don't care.
And I think there's this idea around, like, when you see burlesque performers, there's a lot of poise that goes with it, right? But everybody's still human.
Yes.
And so underneath it all, like nobody starts out poised, and you know, so you can go into a class and you don't have to be serious.
No.
And yeah.
You'll find that a lot of the performers, especially your professional performers, are very, very different on stage to they are in what we call muggle life.
Mm.
So one particular person that nobody expects this from, it's one of our teachers, Wildcat. She on stage is just oozes sex, and she does a lot of fetish stuff. She's a Perth Queen of Kink. But in real life, especially when she teaches her fetless classes, she's the biggest dork on the face of the earth, honestly. So when you see somebody on stage, they might be completely different in real life. So as much as they may be intimidating and you're like, oh, I could never do anything with them or be near them, and then you meet them in real life, you're like, oh, you're just like me.
Actually, maybe I could. So this is, I'm going off on another tangent,
that's
which is quite a bit like me, actually. The idea of stage names.
Yes.
So what are your, obviously you have a stage name.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on stage names? And what I mean by that is some people have stage names so that they can embody a persona when they're on stage. And other people think that actually when I'm on stage is when I'm most me. And so then, you know, having a stage name, then how does that sit with, I feel most comfortable, why am I giving myself a different name?
It can go both ways. So ideally, when you create a stage name and a stage persona, you generally are creating a new character for the most part. Now, when I started, that was it for me. That was, I used to joke that Dells is not married, and everyone would just giggle. It was only because I didn't perform with my wedding band and engagement ring on. I never take it off now, and I couldn't care less. I just learnt to know that if it's in gloves or whatnot.
Just be careful when you're taking the gloves off.
I'm just more aware of it.
Yeah. Flinging your engagement ring across the audience. Special bonus.
I do get it caught every once in a while, but never mind. It's more when I'm emceeing rather than performing.
Yeah.
But so when I first started, Delza was a very different person to Saran.
Yeah.
Now they just kind of gelled together.
Yeah.
So for me, that's how it went. There is a lot of people that are either the exact same person on the stage or they're complete opposite.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when you're choosing a stage name, the best thing that you can do is choose, number one, it needs to be unique.
Hmm.
Number two, I always say this, please make it easy to spell. Because trying to find you on socials is really difficult. And then choosing something that nobody else has. Because if you do and that person finds out, they're going to ask you to change it.
Yeah.
There is a registry for names that you can list your name on. This does not mean that you have all rights to the name. It's simply a registry to say, this name is taken.
Yeah. But just because it's not on there doesn't mean somebody else is using it, isn't using it.
Yeah. So particularly like if you are choosing a name, talk to your teachers. Mm. If they don't know if somebody else has it, they will find out.
Yeah.
Like usually certain names will stick out.
Yeah.
I did trademark my name for very different reasons that I don't really talk about.
Yeah.
But that was to protect my name at a time.
Yeah.
So that you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
You don't need to go that far.
Mm.
But I did. So nobody will be Delza.
Yeah.
Don't even try it. That would be silly for anybody to do that. Sky, couldn't care less.
Yeah.
That's fine. Did go for it.
And, I mean, you can Google it. You can have a look on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, there's a lot of
time.
Like, you can
stuff.
Google the name and then put plus burlesque.
Yeah.
And see where it comes up. But, try to find. But also find something that is relatable to you or your character.
Yeah.
So usually when you start becoming a soloist, you do solo development and you'll learn about how to start creating your character. Who is your character? And usually you start off with one version of yourself and it progresses to a different avenue. Not a lot of people will choose comedy straight off. They want to be like sexy and sultry. Mm. And then they realize that they can't really do that. And then they go down a different avenue. And that's fine.
But, I mean, that's what we do when we're growing up, right?
Oh,
You know, you try out different personalities as you're going through, you know, teenage years and adolescence and early 20s and then sometimes into your 30s and 40s and you're still developing your personality. And so it's the same when you're performing.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because you've decided that you want to go down as this particular character and you can change. You're not locked in.
No. So maybe when you're thinking about your name, think about the long term.
Yeah.
But there has been performers that have changed their names over the years to become a little bit more relatable to who they are now. I feel like my name wouldn't matter what I did. I mean, my character is so many different things.
Yeah.
And I always say it's like a little jigsaw puzzle that I've been putting together over the years. And each time I do a new act or a new version of myself, I say it's just another piece in the jigsaw.
Yeah.
I, at this point, feel like the jigsaw's finished and now it's just going to have extensions added to it. So
I call that the Weasley Warren. Just keep whacking bits on here, there and everywhere as it starts growing. But yeah.
But yeah, and over time you will be able to identify with yourself as a brand.
Yeah.
So everybody in the community knows me as the donut queen.
Okay.
Like anyone says donuts, they're going to say Delza. So, and I've built that over time.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I do like donuts.
So you've been doing burlesque for 8-ish years now.
Yeah.
What are your highlights?
So many highlights. To be honest, the biggest highlight I think I would have to say was when I met my burlesque mum. So if you have a burlesque mum or a dad or a you know, any sort of a mentor, that's what you call them.
Yeah.
So... she made me write out a set of goals, and this was back in 2018. And the first thing I ever wrote down was that I wanted to compete in mixed burlesque. At the time, it was Miss Burlesque. It has now changed to mixed burlesque to be gender inclusive. So that was the biggest goal, and I ticked that off last year.
Well done. Congratulations.
Yeah, that took me a little while.
That's not very long, actually.
It felt like a long time for me.
At the time, yeah, but, you know.
So from 2018 and then I competed in 2022 and then I just competed this year as well. So I think that's the biggest highlight for me was ticking off that big goal.
Yeah.
And now that I've done it, not once but twice, I've had big long list of stuff and I've ticked everything off of it so far, so now I have to put new stuff on.
Now
you've
got to start a new list.
Yeah.
How was it performing in that?
Incredible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible. When I did it last year, I honestly was just happy to be there.
Yeah.
I forgot that it was a competition. And when they were announcing the winners, I was like, I don't care.
I'm here. I won anyway.
Do you know what? And I do say this and I have to always remind myself of this. You won the day you got the email saying you were in.
Yeah.
Because that's all I ever wanted. So I've won.
Yeah. And it is to be there surrounded by people and peers on that level. Yes. That's amazing.
Oh, and being on that stage. Mm. Like all they ever wanted was to be on that stage. I mean, Dita Von Teese has performed there and that's why there's carpet there. Everyone's like, why is there carpet there? Dita put that there. I don't mind it. I actually quite like the carpet. It's quite safe. Oh. It's not nice on stilettos.
Yeah.
But it is nice. Mm. Also, don't ever like drag your butt across it like Wildcat did.
Oh.
There's been many people get to carpet burn.
So that would be an occupational hazard at times.
That's an occupational hazard. Do not scrape your bottom across the carpet at the Astor Theatre like a dog. You will get an infection, won't we, Wildcat?
Oh, my goodness. And well, I was just thinking, actually, even the walking in the stilettos takes some, you know, that takes some practice.
Oh, yeah. I don't wear overly high stilettos. I mean, people joke about that.
Yeah.
But the highest ones that I have worn on stage were 7 inches. Which is, it's high.
Yeah, it is.
It's a pleaser shoe. That's a pole shoe.
Yeah, it is.
Yes,
yeah, definitely.
Like they're not made for walking in.
But they are actually surprisingly a lot easier to walk in than regular stilettos.
Once you mastered them, yes. So I've gone from a 3-inch and up to a 7.
Oh, look at you!
And I do one act that I do have the 6 inches.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I needed a nice high shoe. But yeah, I don't know that I'll go past that. My burly mama, Alyssa Kitt, she actually does a performance in 9-inch heels.
Yeah, that's close to stilts.
Honestly, it is incredible what she can do in those.
Yeah.
So it can be done. But yeah, you don't need to wear the high shoes, everybody.
Yeah, no.
You can just go in, you know, your little kitten heel.
Well, look, some women do it in flats.
Yeah, they do. I just did my first performance that ever where I wore sneakers.
Oh, just,
and do you know what?
Do you know what?
Oh, it was so nice.
Really? Because we're of a similar age.
Yes.
And it feels wrong. You know, like going into the Northbridge, you know, and seeing girls out there wearing sneakers.
I know, that's the fashion now. They're pretty smart wearing that. Let's be honest.
Look, 90% of me is jealous, but 10% of me is just like,
nope. I can't do it.
I cannot do it.
No.
If I'm going out, I'm still out in heels.
Yes.
Same. Because it just, well, I'm quite short, but it just feels wrong not to be in heels.
Yes.
And we just need to get rid of some of those stereotypes. And I am very jealous of the girls who go out fully covered in sneakers with jackets and they're not having to try and steal jackets from people that they're with.
I look at that. I'm like, you're pretty smart right there.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to wear sneakers. Yeah. I mean, they were very cute little high tops with donuts on the side, weightlifting. But I actually did twerking. And if anyone twerks, you know that it's much easier to be in sneakers than it is in heels. And you know what? I was standing backstage. I'm like, I am so comfortable right now. The carpet did not like the grip of the sneakers when I tried to do splits at the end. I was like, go down, leg, move.
Could you just wait while I take my sneakers off so I can do this in my
socks?
Hang on
a minute. It's just not sliding. Yes, but no. So I did. But that was the reason why I did that. Otherwise, I would definitely have been in heels.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was nice.
So anything else, if you were talking to somebody who was saying, you know what, I think I'd really like a career as a burlesque performer, what advice would you give them?
Number one, don't expect it to happen overnight. It's a lot of work.
Says the person who was like, oh, it took me this long and that was ages. No, it wasn't.
Do you know what? Someone said to me the other night at Mixed Burlesque, they were like, I want to be like you. And I'm like, well, that only took me 7 years, so get onto it.
Yeah.
Look, some people just step in there and they're just amazing straight away. Mm. But look, I am a tortoise in the tortoise and hare race. I will take my time, but I will get there.
7 years isn't...
It's not a huge amount of time. But when you start at 35 and you feel like, oh, that's the other thing. Age, just don't even worry about that. I've got that out of my head now. I'm quite proud of telling everybody I'm 42.
I think, though, that there's this idea that, well, if I start now and it's going to take me 7, 8, 10 years to get to where you are now, well, then I'll be – so I'm 41. So if I start now and it's going to take me 10 years to get to where you are now, well, I'll be 51.
That's okay.
You know what? I'm going to be 51 anyway.
Do you know what? I always say this. The time will pass regardless. Mm-hmm. So do you want to start now or do you want to wait?
Yeah.
Because there's no perfect time. Start.
Yeah.
Like just try a class. I always say to people, just try a class. Trust me, you will love it.
Yeah.
And they always do. They always do. You know?
And if you don't, you're not locked in.
No! You don't have to do it.
Yeah, you don't have to come back. Just and give it a go.
A lot of people ask, where did I get my confidence? That's where I got my confidence. That doesn't mean that's where everyone will get their confidence. That's not how it works. I just was lucky that that's where I fell into, doing the pinup modelling as well. All of that has helped.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone from hiding my body, and I mean hiding it. Like I never even took my kids to swimming classes as babies because I was too scared to get in the pool and show my body. Goodness. And you know what? I could smack myself so hard for it because you know what? My body's pretty damn good. You know, and then now I don't care. I'll go to the beach in a bikini. Whereas before, there's no way. There's no way.
To be fair, you do also stand on stage with not a lot of clothes on in front of random strangers. So I think a bikini's quite well covered.
It is.
It's all relative.
I know, but then I'm like, I wear stockings on stage and like, I've got makeup and hair
It is different.
Covered in glitter spray and all sorts of stuff.
And you're there as a stage name with really nice lighting and all of those things.
I know. But yeah. Anyway, everyone's like, how do you do that? You get up on stage, but then you were scared to go to the beach. Well, not anymore, but I was.
So how did you go from being, I don't want to take my kids to the swimming pool and get over that?
Other than the burlesque, because obviously that came with time, but in saying that, with burlesque, you can get away with wearing, you know, your tights with the fishnets over the top and a high-waisted brief, even if you're in a G-string. There's so many things that you can cover yourself with. I mean, there's even the sheer gauntlets that you wear up your arms, almost like a glove, but more like a sleeve for your skin.
Yeah.
But I actually got invited to do a photo shoot that was for body positivity, and they booked women of all different body shapes and ages. And that was with Ella Hackleton, and I actually got booked as the curvy model. So there was, now please don't get this confused, curvy and plus size are two different things. So yeah, they had you know, like the fitness kind of body, like the athlete.
Yeah.
We had a pregnant lady, we had a plus size, a curvy, a young, an older, or mature, all sorts.
Yeah.
Just to represent all the different bodies. Mm-hmm. And that was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. I got paired up with the skinny model and I looked huge next to her. And I'm not that big. Yeah. But, and also she was a lot younger. And do you know what? After doing that shoot and standing next to all those different ladies and seeing the photos, and I just went, why am I so worried?
Yeah.
Like, they all had insecurities. Yeah. And I'm looking at them going, what? I don't see them.
Yeah.
So.
But we all want what we don't have, right?
Yeah. That's the biggest thing. And I think once you can learn to love your body, even though you don't like certain things, is just a game changer. Being able to visually look at yourself in the mirror and just say that you love yourself, it's a hard thing. And I actually do classes on how to do these sorts of things, about how to look at yourself, because I'm surprised at how many women don't even look at themselves in the mirror. And I'm just like, what? I look at myself 100 million times a day.
Any reflective surface, actually.
pretty much. And that's not out of vanity. I just like to, you know, to check that and check this.
I'm generally checking to see if I'm covered in dog hair, to be fair.
This is true.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So that was a big changer for me during that shoot. That was the absolute turning point for me.
Yeah.
After that, I was like, I got cellulite. I got varicose veins. I got spider veins. I got 100 million bruises too, because I'm like an apple that's been dropped 100 times.
Look, I think that's so true. We just, you know, the women who've got straight hair want curly hair, and the women who've got curly hair want straight hair, and the women who have got big boobs want smaller boobs, and smaller boobs want bigger boobs, or, you know, whatever that might be. It doesn't matter. We're always comparing and finding that we're falling short. We all, as individuals in society, need to work out how to change that narrative, I think, and celebrate our bodies and the fact that we're still upright and it's what our body's giving us, rather than focusing on what we don't like.
A lot of people forget that you just get that one body. Like, this body, like, are you going to stop yourself from having fun? Like, I mean, I hate this and I admit it now. I've written blogs about this. The fact that I would even lie to my friends about why I couldn't go to, like, say, Adventure World or a pool or something like that, because I was so scared to get into bathers.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't one of those people that could wear a baggy T-shirt and board shorts. It's not me.
Yeah. It doesn't go with the pin-up kind of thing, to be fair.
It doesn't. Yeah. And I felt more uncomfortable doing that than I would putting a bikini on.
Yeah.
So many, many times back in the day, like prior to entering burlesque, I would make up all sorts of reasons why I couldn't do something.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate that I did that to my kids. Like, you know, not having them do swimming lessons as babies just because I didn't want to get in the pool. How ridiculous is that?
Oh, look, I don't think the insecurities are ridiculous. I know what you're saying. Well, I certainly don't think that you're alone with that.
Yeah.
But how amazing that you've been able to turn it around.
Yeah.
And that you're helping other people to turn that around as well.
Yeah.
So that's really awesome.
Yeah. That's like my whole goal in life, is just to help inspire body positivity.
Yeah.
And help women to grow that confidence, because we've all got amazing bodies, mm-hmm. regardless of our flaws.
Yeah.
You can, and you know what? For people that are with male partners, trust me, those guys are not looking at what we think they're looking at.
Yeah, no, I know.
And you know what? The other thing I have really realized, like back when I was a teenager, that boys would make fun of cellulite. Mm. And now they're just like, oh no, I like a curvy girl, and that just comes with the package. You know, it's like they've grown up and gone, hang on, that's just normal.
Yeah, I had a conversation with some men recently, and they're like, women give us a lot more credit. We're just grateful for what we've got.
I know. This is a silly thing.
And it was meant like really genuine, yeah. and really honest. Just, you know, we're really not that fussy. We're just, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Mm. I think especially as they grow up,
yeah.
and become a little bit more mature, they're just kind of like, oh, that's a woman.
Yeah.
That's a woman.
Yeah. With like, all the bits that come with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I know, I always say to people, I don't look like this when I wake up and they're like, boo. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah, no, I totally wake up with hair done, makeup, false eyelashes, all of those kinds of things, right?
I know, it's like, I don't often leave the house without makeup on, but that is me.
Yeah.
That is my look. I think it's partly being the beauty therapist in me, I'm not sure. But I do go to the gym without my makeup on.
Mm.
So if you want to see with no makeup on, come to the gym.
Oh, that feels like way too much work.
Bothered.
Yeah.
I used to do Muay Thai, surprisingly. One time I went to class with a full face of makeup on because I had no idea.
Oh, as it slid the whole way down 10 minutes
my
in.
My eyes were like burning from the mascara melting into my eyeballs. I'm like, what on earth? And I used to be one of those people that would just never tie my hair. I never tie my hair up. I do it at the gym. It gets in my way. But I just quickly tie it up, and then as soon as I'm finished, I rip it out.
Yeah.
You don't ever try to do a high intense sport.
No.
With a full face of makeup on.
Full face of makeup and your hair touching you, making you hot.
Just
sweaty.
Don't do it. It's just
so
don't.
Gross.
It's not worth it. It's really not worth it. And especially with like Muay Thai, you have boxing gloves on. You can't wipe anything
No,
away.
You're just smearing it. There's now mascara dripping onto my shirt.
Lessons have been learnt.
Definitely. So before we wrap up for tonight, have you got any final thoughts that you'd like to share with any of the listeners?
Oh, so many things. I think my biggest thing is don't be scared to try things. Mm. Some of the scariest things turn out to be the best things. And no, you don't need to go and take your clothes off like I do.
Mm.
But try something new. Don't sit there and go, I'm just a mum. Because you're not.
Yeah.
You're not. You're a person and you have a personality and a life. And you're allowed to have a life outside of those children.
But the idea, try something different. As you say, I think some of those are the most fun things. But I think often people can be afraid to try them because what will somebody else think?
Don't even worry about what other people think. I don't know whether it comes with turning 40, but I mean, it might come earlier for some people. But the second you just don't care.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, you got to live your life. And I've always said that I am going to sit there in my rocking chair when I'm 90 years old, looking through my burlesque photos going, oh, look at me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to regret things.
At 90, you could still be on the stage.
Well, do you know what? There is at Burlesque Hall of Fame over in America, there is still the legends performing into their 90s.
Yep.
So don't think I won't be.
Mm. And that's exactly it. There's no age limit on it, but there's no age limit to trying something new or having fun or going and just letting go of some of those inhibitions.
Yeah. So. But yeah, my biggest piece of advice is, try something and just remember that you are a person outside of anything else that you title yourself as. Like, don't do it to yourself. I feel like I am a better mum and a better wife having my own thing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree.
Yes.
I feel like that's a perfect ending for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining me. I've really enjoyed talking about beauty and burlesque and literally everything else that we covered in the last hour or so. It does tend to be a little bit wandering.
Yes, sorry. That's, yeah, my brain goes also. I'm like a magpie.
Yeah, I call it the Billy Connolly School of Storytelling. We sort of go all around and occasionally we touch on what we were supposed to.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Nope, 100%. So thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate it. And good luck with the next performance. And I will put some notes in the bio around where people can follow you and how they can watch you and where they can see you perform next.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.